Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da Welcome back, everyone, to another exciting edition of the Jewish Experience radio program. Since the parsha this week talks about Abraham sending his servant Eliezer out to find a wife for Isaac, I'll look at the state of Jewish marriage and matchmaking, where it is today, and what options are open to our Jewish singles. I'll have more in today's candid comments coming up right after your community announcements. Hi, I'm Hirsch DeLynn. It's Parsha's Chaya Sarah, where you'll learn all about the life of Sarah and what kind of legacy and lesson she left for us all. And to help you continue that legacy and get ready for another exciting Shabbat weekend, we here at the Jewish Experience will be right there with you, getting you in the mood with Devorah DeLynn, Rabbi Meir Goldwasser, Rabbi Yosef Eisen, Chef Chaim Reisner, and of course, Musical Moish. We'll have your community announcements and mazel tovs along with current news fresh from Israel National Radio coming up on the half hour. This week's program is sponsored in part by Burton Hirsch Funeral Home and by Artistic Photography when you want to get it right the first time. By the way, they also sponsor the Jewish Experience Radio Program's website, jewishexperienceradio.com. Stop by for a visit and stay for a Jewish experience. Candlelighting time this week is no later than 4:38 p.m. And now, ladies and gentlemen, once again, I give you everyone's favorite musical magician, lovable Moishe Pekar. Take it, big guy.
Thanks for the lovely introduction, Hirsch. Well, let's get some music going here, but before we do, here's something funny I received in my email from Florida. And it goes like this, Hirsch. Are you ready?
No.
Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Wilma.
Wilma who?
Wilma Ruth, stay on.
Oh, that's terrible. Next.
To get that one up.
Next.
All right, let's get some music going here. Here's a swing with Nagina as you get ready for another swinging Shabbos, because you're good to go and tuned in to the J.E.
Come on.
I don't know about you, Hirsch, but I'm still swinging around here in my chair.
Swinging and singing.
Swinging and singing. Okay, let's move it on. Let's slow things down here. Torah HaKadosha, our holy Torah, with Inveh HaGefen.
Lohem Esa shiro Esa shiro azoi Velando es benei Israel Veya tovo Kifu lohem Esa shiro, esa shiro hazoi, velando es benei Yisroei. Oi toiro vakdoisho, ishaneni bevakosho, tnei tu. Naros big dusho, yo 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 yo. Toi ravak doisho, ishaneni yi bevakosho. Ishaneni yi yi yo bevakosho. Esa shiro, esa shiro azoi. Velando es benei Yisroei. Veyato kisulochem. Esa shiro. Esa shiro hazoi, velando es benei Yisroei. Yo 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 toiro vakdoisho, ishaneni bevakosho. Tnei tzur naros bikdusho, yo yo yo. Ishaneni bevakosho, ishaneni yoy bevakosho. Oy yoy yoy toy ravakdoisho, ishaneni bevakosho. Nei tu burnaros vikdusho, oy yoy yoy. Rovak doisho, ishaneni bevakosho, ishaneni yoy bevakosho. Oh, בבקושו. אוי 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 יתחנן אוי 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 בבקושו.
Now for your Shabbos walk in the park weather forecast. Forget about it. It's gonna be freezing cold. You're gonna freeze your
kishkis off.
The kishkis off. Stay away. Stay home. Stay warm.
Actually, a lot of people are away this weekend because it is a holiday weekend for the most of the United States, and some people are up in New York having a convention up there. A bunch of rabbis are up there. But one of the things that we learn is it's not so much when you go out to try to live your life and just do the things you have to do, but you have to do it with joy and enthusiasm. To show you what joy and enthusiasm really brings to the table, here is Rabbi Meir Goldwasser.
When Eliezer was sent by Avraham Avinu to find a wife for Yitzchak, he davened, "Let it be that the girl to whom I shall say, please tip over your jug so that I may drink, and who replies, drink, and I will even water your camels, let her be the one who is designated for Yitzchak." This test seems amazing. What is the significance of providing a little water, something that is freely available without any effort? If anything, the test only indicates that the girl does not have the negative character traits like the people who dwelled in Sodom. But how does it indicate that she is a suitable match for Yitzchak and that she is kind and appropriate to enter the household of Avraham Avinu? The answer is, one of the most important aspects of fulfilling a mitzvah is to perform the mitzvah with simcha, with joy, as it says in Sefer Devarim, "Serve Hashem with joy." This is especially true when doing a chesed, kindness for others, and receiving guests. Whether one does a little or a lot, one of the most important objectives is that the mitzvah should be carried out with simcha, with joy and enthusiasm. We find an example of this in the Talmud in Kedushin, which informs us that one can feed his father a sumptuous meal and be punished for doing so begrudgingly, while another can put his father to work and be rewarded for asking respectfully and pleasantly. This was Eliezer's test, to observe whether or not the girl would provide the water with joy and eagerness. The words of the verse itself allude to this. Pasuk states, "V'hoyo hanaro," let it be that the girl who will give water. We have learned that whenever the word "V'hoyo" is employed, it indicates happiness. She was happy and enthusiastic. The Pasuk tells us that she was cheerful and zealous. She quickly lowered the jug to give him water to drink, and then hastened back to the well to draw water again. With this explanation, we can understand another difficulty. Our sages tell us that there is no reward for mitzvahs performed in this world. By giving the water, Rivka performed the mitzvah of chesed, kindness. Why then did Eliezer immediately reward her with jewelry? However, we learn that although there is no reward for the mitzvah itself, there can be a reward, even in this world, for the joy that accompanies the mitzvah. During the era of the Holocaust in 1941, the great tzaddik Rav Klonimus Kalman and a large group of his chassidim were confined in the Warsaw Ghetto. The day was Purim. Because of their treacherous existence, the people were demoralized and depressed. The look on their face told of the horrors that they were living through. The Rebbe, however, realizing that the day was Purim, had a radiant smile on his face. They asked the Rebbe, How can anyone rejoice at a time like this? The Rebbe answered, in the Zohar it says that Yom HaKippurim is Yom Kippurim, a day just like Purim. This means that just like on Yom Kippur, whether a person is in the mood or not, he has to fast according to the command of Hashem, so too we must rejoice on Purim, even if we are not at that time in the mood. We have to be happy. It is the will of Hashem.
All around us, life is moving faster and faster. Things are changing all the time, and it's a comfort to know in your time of need that at Burton Hirsch Funeral Home, the Jewish tradition continues. Burton Hirsch Funeral Home has served the Pittsburgh Jewish community since 1947 and has recently remodeled its entire facility to better serve you. Burton Hirsch Funeral Directors are members of the Jewish Funeral Directors Association and work closely with area rabbis to ensure that your needs as a Jewish family are totally met. Their attentive and compassionate guidance results in treating each family as their own. I personally met with Michael Hilgefort, Funeral Home Supervisor, and did you know that Burton Hirsch Funeral Home is even involved with community educational programs to ensure that Jewish families know what to do to have a proper burial? In your time of special need, call Squirrel Hill's only Jewish funeral home, Burton Hirsch, at 412-521-2600. That's 412-521-2600. They welcome your request to visit and tour their state-of-the-art facilities. Burton Hirsch Funeral Home, proud sponsors of the Jewish Experience, 412-521-2600. Michael Hilgefort, Supervisor. Don't forget, for your next Simcha, it's Artistic Photography. That's artistic-photography.com by Mordechai Saxon when you want to get it right the first time. And now, back to the music with Moshe Pekar.
Ladies and gentlemen, Dov Levine!
There's nowhere to turn. Things seem confused and no one's concerned. The times we live in are oh so dark. A little faith though lights up the spark. Clears our vision, eases the pain. Hope arises again. Hope arises again.
Yeah, nice selection there with Dov Levine. By the way, if you're looking for the finest music for an upcoming simcha, check me out on the web. That's www.musicalmoish.com.
Okay, now let's pause for a minute for a moment in Jewish history. Here is the author of Miraculous Journey, Rabbi Yosef Eisen.
In the 1500s, the territory known as Poland encompassed areas of the present nations of Poland, Lithuania, Belarus, Ukraine, and Russia. According to legend, Jews traveling eastward from Germany in the 900s received a heavenly message, Polin, which is not only the Hebrew name for Poland, but also means settle here. Settle they did, minting coins with Hebrew inscriptions in Poland as early as the 1100s. At first, Jews traveled to Poland to escape persecution and the ravages of the Black Death. Later, Jews came from the south and east, possibly remnants of Khazar Jews. Polish kings, needing people to inhabit their vast territories and realizing the economic boon that Jews bring to a country, welcomed them. Indeed, despite occasional outbreaks of anti-Semitism, life in Poland was far more pleasant for Jews than anywhere else. The Polish cities of Krakow, Warsaw, Poznan, Kalisz, Brisk, and Grodno became major Jewish centers. By 1500, between 20,000 and 30,000 Jews lived in Poland. At the end of the 1500s, Great Poland contained 52 Jewish communities, Little Poland had 41, and the eastern regions 80. During the 1600s, it is estimated that four-fifths of the world's Jews resided there. By the 1500s, Ashkenazic Poland became the Torah center of world Jewry, a position it held until the Holocaust. Producing the greatest scholars, yeshivas and sfarim, Hebrew books, Poland played a dominant role in Torah scholarship up to the contemporary era. Great movements within traditional Judaism, such as Hasidus and Musar, originated in Poland. Due to the relative absence of oppression and the complete lack of assimilation with the Polish culture and society, Jewish spiritual life flourished in Poland. Even ordinary people spent many hours studying Torah, creating a society where Torah was paramount. Sadly, the sublime glory of Polish Jewry was destroyed in the Holocaust, not to be recreated again until the coming of Mashiach b'mehera v'yameinu.
Now, from the largest independent news organization in the Middle East, here's Ernie Singer with Israel National News.
A record number of people from Israel and abroad visiting Hebron south of Jerusalem this Shabbat, according to Moshe ben Zimra, who is helping to organize the annual Sabbath when the Torah reading of Parshat Chayei Sarah, the portion of the week about the life of Sarah from the book of Bereshit or Genesis, is read. It includes the purchase by Abraham of the double cave known as Ma'arat HaMachpelah, also known as the Tomb of the Patriarchs. Thousands of visitors being housed in school dormitories and with families in the city of Hebron and the adjacent city of Kiryat Arba. The Sabbath has become known as Shabbat Hebron. Thousands of people spending the Holy Sabbath together in prayer, singing, and Torah study, a testament to the renewed settlement of the City of the Fathers. All activities being coordinated in advance with security officials, with all precautions being taken to ensure the holy day is observed without incident. The Sabbath marking one of the few dates on the calendar in which Ulam Yitzchak, the hall above the grave of Patriarch Isaac, is open to Jews in the wake of an incident on Purim, the Feast of Esther, 11.5 years ago, in which Dr. Baruch Goldstein of Kiryat Arba and a number of Muslims were killed. Israeli counterterrorism officials releasing a global kidnapping alert, warning Israelis to be on guard around the world, placing an emphasis on Arab countries. According to intelligence community warnings, Israelis are to take precautionary steps against Islamic fundamentalists seeking to abduct them, warning business people in particular regarding enticing offers from people unknown to them. There's no specific intelligence, but defense officials are worried that Hezbollah might try to make up for its botched attempt to kidnap Israelis along the Israeli-Lebanese border this past week. The bodies of three Hezbollah terrorists who died in the attempt were returned to Lebanon on Friday. Shinui will fall from Israel's third-largest party to only its seventh in the March 28th election, according to a new Smith Research and Consulting poll conducted for the Jerusalem Post. The telephone poll has found that Shinui would drop from the 15 mandates that made it a force to be reckoned with to only 5 seats in the next Knesset. Polls conducted earlier in the past week already showed Shinui on a downward slope, and if the trend continues, Prime Minister Ariel Sharon's new Kadima party could wipe Shinui off the political map, according to some analysts. Sharon associates say that negotiations with Shinui members of Knesset about joining Kadima would intensify in the upcoming days. According to the poll, Kadima will win 32 seats in the election, followed by Labor with 25 or 26, a Likud led by former Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu with only 12 or 13. Netanyahu associates expressing confidence that the Likud will rise dramatically in the polls if he wins the December 19th Likud primary. The poll has found that Shinui is behind Shas with 9 mandates, the combined National Union National Religious Party list with 9, and Avigdor Lieberman's Yisrael Beiteinu party with 6 or 7. Arab parties would combine for 8 or 9 mandates, and Agudat Yisrael 5. 14% of the public is undecided. Shinui chairman Yosef Lapid has dismissed the reports, saying that the low numbers are merely a reflection of the surprise victory of member of Knesset Amir Peretz as head of the Labor Party and Sharon's decision to lead the Likud. The prime minister is seeking to attract Israeli Arab leaders to his newly launched Kadima party, seeking to set the stage for securing the Israeli Arab vote. According to a report in the Arabic Kol al-Arab, Sharon is planning to make offers to Israeli Arab public officials from the Galilee and Triangle areas near Israel's Mediterranean coast. Education Minister Limor Livnat is calling on former Likud cabinet ministers who are aligning themselves with Kadima to quit the government. Livnat says they were elected and placed in their cabinet post by the Likud electorate, and their defection to Sharon's new party is nothing less than stealing the votes away from that electorate. 13 Likud ministers and members of Knesset have already joined Sharon's walkout, and they are certain to try to bring Likud mayors and heads of local Likud chapters along with them, so the Likud has embarked on a drive to prevent key activists from following the prime minister. During Sukkot, it was the festival at Moshav Mavo Modi'in, and this past week a concert in Jerusalem in memory of Rabbi Shlomo Karlebach. Yehuda Katz with a new album coming out. Hear about it Sunday at 6 p.m. Israel time, 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, on the internet at IsraelNationalRadio.com. Shabbat is Kaf Dalet, the 24th day of Cheshvan on the Jewish calendar, and the forecast from the Israel National Radio Weather Center, partly cloudy and warmer than usual through Sunday, with light Sharav heat and winds in the south on Shabbat, a slight drop in temperatures on Monday, but still hot and dry. In Jerusalem and the Golan Heights on Friday, 20 degrees centigrade, 68 Fahrenheit, Ernie Singer, Israel National Radio.
And we want to wish our brothers and sisters in the Holy Land a very peaceful and restful Shabbat. And the Mazel Tov this week, you heard it here first, Mr. and Mrs. Label Shifrin on the engagement of their daughter Yenti to Schneer Cohen of B'nai Brak.
Mazel Tov.
And Rabbi and Mrs. Yael Butler on the marriage of their daughter Devorah to Kenny Camille. And that's going to happen this Sunday. And I understand you're playing for them, aren't you?
Absolutely. We've got a four-piece orchestra.
That's pretty nice. I should be playing. Why am I not playing?
Come down and join. Right,
that's what I figured, yeah. Probably won't get paid. Anyway, Dr. and Mrs. Alan Iskowitz on the birth of a grandson, and of course, Mr. and Mrs. Robert Iskowitz on the birth of a son. Mazel tov to all. And events this week, there's a new learning opportunity at Lubavitch Center. Each night from 8:30 to 10 p.m., there'll be an opportunity to learn with a partner. For more information, please call the yeshiva at 412-422-7300. Also, the Judaic Library at Lubavitch Center is open to the public on Sundays, 12 to 4:30 p.m., Wednesdays, 3 to 4, and 7 to 8, and Motzei Shabbos, 1 hour after Shabbos, for 2 hours. Stop in, check out a book or two, and use the extensive research volumes available. Also, there's an Hour of Power seminar at Beth Shalom, Strategies to Organize and De-Stress Our Lives. Sunday, December 4th, 10 a.m. brunch, called Judith Kadosh at 412-521-5283. And also, there'll be a Freilich Hanukkah, a gala cantorial event, if you like Chazonis, at the New Light Congregation, December 11th at 7 p.m. For more information, call 412-823-4338. Mystic's Guide to the Bible Course is going to be starting November 30th at 8 p.m. at the Agency for Jewish Learning. That's at 2740 Beechwood Boulevard. Call the Colo for more information at 412-420-0220. The Alvin Weinberg Father and Son Learning Program at the Pittsburgh Colo This Shabbos continues at 7:15 p.m. for boys in grades 1 to 8. There'll be pizza and prizes. Due to construction, they'd ask that you use the rear entrance. Also, the meeting of Food Addicts and Recover Anonymous meets at the Aleph Institute every Sunday evening from 7 to 8:30 p.m. The program is a recovery group for people who cannot control their eating and or their weight. For more information, call Ilana at 412-422-2224. And if you'd like to have your Mazel Tovs on our program, you know what to do by now. Please call 412-979-5770. Or you can email jewishexperience@verizon.net by noon on Monday for that week's program. And don't forget that candlelighting time this week is no later than 4:38 p.m. And this week's Candid Comments. Candid Comments has been away for a while. We're glad to be back. We're going to talk a little bit about the state of the Jewish single person today. Of course, this week's Parsha talks about Isaac and how Abraham sent Eliezer to actually find a wife for Isaac. And, you know, today Jewish dating has gotten a little bit different, although some of the same problems continue. The chemistry just has to be right. But one of the good things about Jewish dating today is it's technology. It's all up with computers today. There is hundreds of Jewish sites on the internet. And if you're single, you should check them out. There's JDate. There's JAmerica. There's Jewish Friend Finder. There's Frumster. There's JSoulmate.com. And there's TotallyJewishDating.com. And there's old-fashioned shotgun methods, even using the internet to first establish contact, but then the matchmaker, the shotgun, comes in the middle and takes you through the rest of the process. There's a new concept called speed dating now, where you can go to a fair at one of the local synagogues, and you can actually sit down and meet somebody for a minute or so, and meet somebody else for another minute or so. It's an amazing program, but it's shown some very positive results. There's been a lot of organizations that have come into this now. The OU has a whole section now on Jewish dating services. But the most important ingredient in doing this is the caring of the community, of the caring of the individuals. And the rabbis in the community have to take a very important role in this. And it's very important that rabbis do step up to the plate. And this is the subject of today's Candid Comments, in the sense that in some communities, the rabbis are very distant. They think these things happen by themselves. But in some communities, it's the rabbis that really make the difference, because they're the ones and show the caring and bring everything together. It's one thing to meet on the internet. It's another thing to really be able to bring it together with the proper person at the proper time. Each person should have their own mashpia, somebody, a teacher, somebody they trust that really knows them. Both the girl and the boy should each have their own mashpia. And when they meet, each one should consult their mashpia, and their mashpia should talk among themselves. If it's done properly in accordance with the Torah way, that's the most successful way to do Jewish matchmaking. And, you know, some of the services that are on the net are even rated. JDate is probably one of the most popular rating services, Jewish dating services, established in 1997, and it's been one of the longest, and they have nearly 500,000 registered members now, and so they're pretty big. But a lot of them have gotten that way, and you should check some of these services out. But don't forget, don't do it on your own. Get in touch with somebody you trust, somebody who really knows you, and let them act as an advocate for you. And if the other person that you're meeting also acts as an advocate for them, and let the two of them talk it out, it'll be much, much nicer. It's much, much better, obviously, than the bar scene, and much, much better than just meeting somebody at random. You want a long relationship. It's going to be one that's going to last forever. You want to do it the Torah way. You want to do it right. That's today's Candid Comments. We'll see you again next week. If you have any questions about today's segment, please give us a call at 412-979-5770 or email us at jewishexperience@verizon.net. And now, back to the music with Moshe Pekar.
was Eilecha with Tzalel V'Zimra, Boys Choir.
Now for a deep look into the life and legacy of Sarah Imenu's daughter Bakal, here once again with the feminine perspective is my daughter, Devorah DeLynn.
Welcome and a big shalom to our feminine audience. Today, I would like to continue the theme of last week in learning lessons from our great female teachers. This week's Parsha is Parshas Chayei Sarah, commemorating the death of Sarah Imenu. Let's continue our learning about Sarah and discover another very special woman who most people don't know about, who actually is related to Sarah. Curious yet? Well, here we go. The verse in the Torah states, "And Hashem blessed Abraham in everything." Ramban, Nachmanides, a very famous commentator whose works are published in the Chumash, gives many different opinions regarding this phrase. Most people interpret this phrase that Hashem blessed Abraham with riches, possession, honor, and longevity. In fact, we learn from here that Abraham's blessings were so complete that the only thing he ever lacked in life regarding blessings was the wish to see his son's children continue his honor and the Torah's ways. However, we can take a closer look into the meaning of the word bakol, in everything. Rabbi Yehuda says that he had a daughter since he was blessed in everything. Other people say that he had a daughter and her name was Bakal. So who was this woman? What must it have been being the daughter of a man like Abraham and a woman like Sarah? What was it like being the daughter of a man like Abraham and a woman like Sarah? We can obviously conclude that she was an extraordinary woman, and Shlomo HaMelech, Solomon, the king of Israel, derives from this word the five characteristics that are ideal in a wife. Let's look at the way Bakal is spelled, Beis, Chaf, Lamed. Each of these letters begin a phrase that teaches us a different trait. Beis, Batach ba lev ba'ala v'shala lo yachsar. Her husband's heart relies on her, and he shall lack no fortune. This is telling us that marriage is a partnership. The wife must endeavor to help her husband in every way, including her husband's business dealings. The husband, of course, must help his wife as well. Chaf, Kapa parseli ani v'yadeha shulcha liavion. She spreads her arms out to the poor and extends her hand to the destitute. Charity is a very important trait. We are reminded that we must be charitable to the poor. This also means to be charitable concerning our dealings with people. We should do so with a considerate frame of mind. Lamed, Lo siru levesa mishale, ki kol beisa levush shanim. She doesn't fear the snow for her household, for all her household is clothed in scarlet wool. In those days, scarlet wool was a sign of prosperity. This phrase means that since the wife has done such an excellent job caring for her family, she has no worries about anything that might hurt them. Dalet, Darsha tzemar ufishtim v'ta'as b'chifetz kapeha. She seeks wool and flax, and her hands work willingly. This is giving praise to all the wives. They work willingly in order to help their family. Pei, Bia pasav chachma v'saras chesed alishona. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. Shlomo HaMelech is reflecting on how the wife is the one upon whom a great responsibility is placed regarding the education of her children. You may have recognized these verses as we sing them every Friday night in Eishes Chayil, which, by the way, was composed by Shlomo HaMelech. Bakal, the daughter of Abraham and Sarah, had acquired the first three traits, as we can see from the letters in her name that begin the first three phrases. So we learn that she was an extraordinary woman, yet she was not as proficient in these traits as was Sarah, who had mastered them all. Though I am not on the level of Bakal, and most certainly not compared to the level of Sarah, we can relate to these women. For we are, after all, descendants of Abraham and Sarah, just as Bakal was. So we do know what it feels like to be a child of Abraham and Sarah, and we do grow up in their house. Just by being a Jew, we are living in the house of Abraham and Sarah, because we are continuing the ways that they started. Do you remember when I told you in the beginning that the only way Abraham was lacking in blessings was that he did not get to see his son's children continuing his work? Let's show Abraham that we are continuing his work, and through this, Abraham's last wish will be granted. May our Mashiach come soon, so that we will be able to see Abraham and Sarah in a revealed way and tell them with broad smiles that we have fulfilled their dream.
Hasagiyulo, Israel ever see an end to violence? How will the war against Iraq's insurgents impact Israel? Will changes on the Supreme Court have any effect on the Jewish community? Is anti-Semitism in Europe on the rise? What can be done about it? For a look behind the headlines, read the Forward, the nation's Jewish newspaper. The Forward reveals the personalities, motivations, and histories that are fueling the news abroad. The Forward also provides an in-depth look at issues affecting us at home, with comprehensive reports on everything from politics and religion to culture and the arts. It even has its own matchmaking section for Jewish singles. Try 4 weeks free, then be billed $24.95 for another 26 issues. Not satisfied? Just write cancel on the bill and keep the first four issues free.
Call now for The Forward, 800-992-3333. That's 800-992-3333. Don't forget, for your next Simcha, it's Artistic Photography. That's artistic-photography.com by Mordechai Saxon when you want to get it right the first time. By the way, if you're over 62 and you own your own home, find out how you can get money from your home without having to ever pay it back as long as you live in that home. Call 412-562-2220. Get tax-free money now by calling 412-562-2220 to participate in a government-sponsored home equity conversion. First Mariner Bank, an equal opportunity lender.
Dear Mr. President, as a believer in the Bible, you know that the Jewish people were given the land of Israel not because of a UN declaration, but because of a declaration from God. The Bible says God owns the world. There is room for everyone, but he promised Israel to his chosen people, hence the name, the Promised Land. As you are aware, Mr. President, the Bible stipulates that the eternal boundaries of this promised land includes everything west of the Jordan River. So to suggest now that a Palestinian state be carved from the West Bank and Gaza, land specifically included in God's promise, is wrong. It's time for America, one nation under God, to support the entire land of Israel. because the promised land was promised forever. Sincerely yours, believersofthebible.org.
And it's 32 degrees in the Steel City on the Big 810. And now it's time for everybody's favorite rabbi, Rabbi Meir Goldwasser.
Shmuel was deeply revered by all of Jewry for his brilliance in Torah. But he was also greatly respected for his devotion to the community. Among his many public activities, he managed a Gemilas Chesed free loan fund for the people. An ordinary person once needed a loan of 100 rubles for 4 months. He came to Reb Shmuel, received the money, and promised to return it on the appointed day. 4 months later, when the loan was due, he went to Reb Shmuel's home, but did not find the rabbi in. "He's in the shul learning," he was told. The man went there and found Reb Shmuel deeply engrossed in a complex subject in the Gemara. The man laid the money in front of him. Reb Shmuel looked up, nodded, and went back to his study. The man was certain that the rabbi had acknowledged his receipt of the money and went on his way. Reb Shmuel had only nodded automatically. His mind had been on other things. He pored over the Gemara for a long time, turning pages back and forth. When he was finally satisfied with his solution, he shut the Gemara and put it back on the shelf in the Beis Medrash, oblivious of the money pressed between the pages. Every week, Reb Shmuel would go over the account books to see which loans were paid up and which still had to be collected. When he came to the name of the person, he noticed that the loan was still outstanding. He summoned him and demanded that he repay the 100 rubles. "But I already paid you." "No, you didn't. It is written here that you still owe the money." "I put the money on the table right in front of you. I paid back my debt," the man insisted. Reb Shmuel did not remember. He demanded payment, but the man refused, claiming that he had already paid. Reb Shmuel insisted that he appear before the court. All of the people learned about this court case. The man was in public disgrace. How dare he stand up against the famous scholar? He was, in effect, calling him a liar. The hearing took place in the Beis Din. Both sides were heard, and the scholar's story held more weight. The judges postponed their decision for a later date, hoping that the man would admit that he had not paid back his debt. The poor man had no sympathizers in all of the town. He was considered a stubborn fool, a thief. His good name was undermined. People stopped talking to him. His son could not bear the disgrace and left the town altogether. Finally, the man was even dismissed from the job. Still, he continued to insist that he had paid back the loan. Time passed, and Reb Shmuel happened to need the same Gemara. He opened it up and discovered the money, 100 rubles. For a moment, he was puzzled, wondering how such a large sum could have been misplaced there. Suddenly, it all came back to him. This was the missing money which the defendant had insisted he had repaid. Reb Shmuel felt terrible. He had wronged a person. He had accused him falsely. Shaken to his core, he quickly summoned the man and said, "How can I possibly make amends for the anguish I caused you? I am prepared to make a public confession to clear your name. But will this be enough? Can this possibly compensate for your suffering?" The man stood before the rabbi. He said sadly, "What is done is done. My good name is already ruined. Even if you were to free me of blame, people would not forget that I had once been accused of such a terrible thing. Besides, it would not bring my son back. He left the town out of shame." Reb Shmuel was thoughtful for a long time. How could he help the broken man before him, the man whose reputation he himself had ruined? Suddenly, he had an idea. He consulted his daughter. And then he said, "Send for your son. Tell him to return to the town. I will take him as a husband for my daughter. This will certainly restore your good name." The man was overwhelmed. He had never dreamed of such a wonderful thing, that his son should marry the rabbi's daughter. The son was summoned back, and the engagement took place several days later. The cream of the town society took part in the affair. People could not stop talking about the amazing turn of events. They could not help but marvel at the ways of Hashkocha Pratis, divine providence. It had been decreed from birth that this ordinary man's son was to marry the great rabbi's daughter. And how had this been accomplished? Through the mistake about the loan. How amazing were the ways of heaven. This is Rabbi Meir Goldwasser wishing you all a good Shabbos.
And as we wrap up another exciting Jewish Experience radio program, just a couple of events to remind you about. There's a new learning opportunity at Lubavitch Center each night from 8:30 to 10 p.m. Call the yeshiva at 412-422-7300. Don't forget about the Judaic Library at Lubavitch Center, open to the public on Sundays and Wednesdays and after Shabbos is over. Check out a book or two. Give the yeshiva a call at 412-422-7300. Hour of Power Seminar, Beth Shalom. Call Judith Kadosh at 412-521-5283. Don't forget a Freilich Hanukkah Gala Cantorial Event. New Light Congregation, December 11th. For information, call 412-823-4338. Mystic's Guide to the Bible Course at 2740 Beechwood Boulevard. Call the Koilo for more information at 412-420-0220. The Alvin Weinberg Father and Son Learning Program at the Koilo, 715, grades 1 to 8 after Shabbos is over. Due to construction, please use the rear entrance. Meeting of Food Addicts and Recovery Anonymous. Call Ilan at 412-422-2224. Don't forget to call us if you want to have your Mazel Tovs on our program, 412-979-5770, or email jewishexperience at verizon.net at noon on Monday for that week's program. Don't forget, candlelighting is also no later than 4:38 p.m. So as the Shabbos approaches, I want to be sure to thank our faithful staff, which includes, as you all know by now, Rabbi Meir Goldwasser, Rabbi Yosef Eisen, MusicalMoish.com, Dr. Michael Shulman, Chef Chaim Reisner, and Miss Devorah DeLynn, and as you may not know, our engineer, Jeremy Bossy, for another outstanding show. Don't forget, until next week, I'm Hirsch DeLynn. Have a wonderful and restful Shabbat.
Malachi Elyon, Mimelech Malchei HaMlachim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Mimelech Malchei HaMlachim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shabbat Shalom.